for today is going to be taken out of Psalm 119. And as my wife and I were sitting down to pray one day this week, Friday, I believe it was, I guess we were both awestruck to find out her conviction and working through Psalm 119. I guess the women also were working through Psalm 119. And so it's encouragement to me to see God having convicted her and that the women are working this direction. I believe that this is God's word for us right now. And so I'm going to try to take my time. I know you feel like, I know a lot of times y'all probably feel like, man, Pastor Whitmer must think he only got one chance to preach. So, in some cases, that's true. I do have a sense an urgency because I don't presume that I'm going to have another next week. But at the same time, I want to be reasonable. So y'all pray for me. And so what we're going to try to do in these next few weeks is to be reasonable in what I bring to you. Today our text, this is going to be our launching text for us. So if you could stand, it's Psalm 119. I'm going to read verses 65 through 72. This will be our introduction to this subject matter for the next few weeks. Got it? Psalm 119, verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Amen. Amen. Our Father, we humbly bow before you now and confess to you that we want to hear from you, Lord. You know where we are, and you have so graciously given us your word to guide us to where we need to be. So meet us now in the scriptures. Help us to understand what you're saying to your people. Help us to understand how to apply it to our lives, and then grant us grace to obey your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Our subject for the next few weeks will be learning from afflictions. Learning from affliction. I want us to begin today with just simply thinking about the idea of learning. But when you think about Psalm 119 as a whole, it's basically the psalmist is just celebrating the Word of God. He's so thrilled. He's so in awe of the Word of God. He just marvels at how good the Scriptures are and how beneficial they are, okay? And so Psalm 119 reveals that the Word of God is to be central. It's not on the periphery of a believer's life. It's in the center. It has to be in the center. Okay? Psalm 119 reveals that the Word of God is relevant, right? Amen. It's relevant when? Not just centuries ago. It's relevant when? Right now. Yeah. Right now. So when I read it, you see, if I don't think it's relevant, I don't read it like it's relevant. I read it like it's just history or information. But when I know that the Word of God is relevant, then I'm looking for application in my life. Mm-hmm. Not just what it means to other people or how other people can use it. Yes? It's relevant in life. Psalm 119 reveals that the Word of God is also valuable. Right? Valuable. More valuable than getting the next job or the next house or finishing your college career or, you know, on and on, getting, marrying the right spouse and all of the kinds of things that are good. But the Word of God is more valuable. Right? And how did the psalmist say then? What? Silver and gold. Yeah. Word of God is valuable. Psalm 119 reveals that the Word of God is authoritative. God isn't giving suggestions. Amen. Even when Paul said, this is my opinion, that's authoritative.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And so when we realize that all of Scripture is from God, then that settles it. Right? It is authoritative. Whether it's talking about things that I consider to be positive or things that I consider to be negative. It's authoritative when it's speaking about things I don't want to talk about. Yes, it's authoritative. And then by way of introduction, the last thing I'd say is then that Psalm 119 reveals that teaching and learning the Word of God is essential. And I know this is, for some that come here, my preaching style is challenging, okay? But you see, I'm more concerned with you leaving here remembering than I am with you leaving here feeling good. And so I know that this takes some getting accustomed to. I'm okay with that, okay? And I'm not trying to impress you. So I don't. It doesn't matter how well I said it. But if you get it,
amen,
then God's will has been accomplished. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful that we gather,
amen,
and you say, "I gather. I want to learn." Yes.
Amen.
And so that's what we together are doing. So when I think of my job here as a teacher, I'm thankful that God has put me in a family that wants to learn.
Amen.
All right? God bless you. And so then when we think about then this issue of learning, I want to talk about two relevant issues today just by way of introduction. And I call it the principles of godly learning and the essentials of godly learning. And I use the adjective godly because there's lots of learning going on, right? Many, many people are learning things. And some people are actually learning evil things, right? It's amazing. The Bible says that the wicked can't sleep until they come up with an evil scheme. It's just amazing. Think of people that are bank robbers and et cetera. Think about how much planning and scheming they have to do to rob a bank or to break in someone's house. I mean, people go to, they send criminals, so they wonder why the prison system doesn't work. People go in the prison system and they learn better how to be dishonest. How to be better criminals, okay? So we are concerned about godly learning, right? And so that's what I meant. We're going to talk about principles of godly learning and then what I call essentials. Let's dive in. The first thing that I want to mention when it comes to the principles of godly learning is that there are goals and objectives. So I want to begin with this sentence right here. The goal of godly learning is to live according to the will of God, or if you will, to live according to the Word of God, because the will of God is revealed where? In the Word of God. So when you live according to the Word of God, you live according to the what? Will of God. Let's look at a couple of verses. Can you turn to Psalm 86 and verse 11? Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Now, you see that? Psalmist says, I want to be taught. Why? Not just to be smart. Teach me your way so I can walk, or the word is means live. Teach me your way so that I can live in your truth. You get it? Unite my heart to fear your name. And I want my heart to be engaged. I don't want to do it for appearance. I want to do it because it's the desire of my heart.
Yeah?
Go back to Psalm 119 and verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. Look at this. Who walk in the law of the Lord, right? The word walk means live. Blessed are those who live in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. Yes? And then I remember years and years and years ago, my first pastorate, we memorize Psalm 119 and 9. How shall a young man keep his way pure by what? Keeping it according to his what? His word. And so the whole idea then, that's the reason we want our young people to know God and to know His Word is because that will help them get through life without falling in a lot of the pits and the holes that we did. Mm-hmm. How shall you keep your way pure? You keep it according to the Word of God. It'll keep you safe. It'll keep you. People like to use that old slang, the straight and narrow. When you know the Word of God, it will keep you on the straight and narrow, and that'll keep you safe. Yes? So the goal of godly learning is to live according to the will and word of God. And the second statement is this. Godly change is the objective of learning, and the word of God is essential for that learning. Don't miss this. We learn as believers because we need to change. None of us have arrived, so everybody, every Christian needs to change. Regardless of how long you've been a Christian, you still need to change.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
So that's the objective, is that we learn so we can grow, so we can change, right? And 2 Timothy 3:16, y'all know that, right? All Scripture is what breathed out from God, and it's profitable. Right? Profitable for four things, right? Teaching, reproof, correction, and what? Training in righteousness. That is godly change. And that should help us as parents. When you want your child to change, you don't reprove them first. You have to teach them what's right first. And then when they do wrong after they've been taught right, then you reprove. Then reproval means to take out the belt. Reproval means to get them down. Reproval, I mean, don't misunderstand me. The word means to knock down, but that don't mean knock you understand. That's a metaphor. What you're knocking down is the pride. And so the Bible says that if you withhold a rod, you actually hate your child. And so reproof knocks the pride. You got to knock the pride down so they can hear. Right? And so once you taught and they disobey, then reproof is necessary. Then comes what? Correction means to what? Once you knock them down, correction means to stand them up. Right? Because you're not tearing down the pride for them to be groveling. You want them to stand up so they can what? Live. And then it's designed to what? Train. You get it? All Scripture is breathed out from God and is profitable to teach, reprove, correct, train. That's godly change.
Amen.
That's change.
Amen.
For all of you counselors, if you're counseling someone, you can't counsel someone if you don't know the Scriptures. Stop telling people you can help them if you don't know the Bible. Now, I'm not saying you have to know the Bible like I do. That's not the issue. But if you're going to help someone, you need to know how the Bible applies to their issue.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
Don't just pat people on the back and say you're going to be okay. That's not counseling.
Correct.
And giving them your opinion, that's not counseling.
Yeah.
Yes?
Amen.
And so godly change means you need to know that the whole, all of Scripture is profitable. All of those Old Testament stories that you think weren't relevant until somebody comes to you who's struggling with adultery. And you realize the life of David can help you. Or someone who, you know, all of the other situations. So that's the whole idea, is godly change is the objective. And then you remember Romans 12, you remember Paul said that? I appeal to you, brothers, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, as holy and acceptable to God, which is your what? Spiritual or your reasonable service of worship, right? But then he says what? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. How's your mind going to get renewed if you don't get taught the Word of God? See, that's the godly change. You present your body to be renewed. Your body is to be used by the way God teaches you through your mind. My body used to be used by the flesh.
Amen.
My desires, what I wanted to do, what felt good to me, what made sense to me. But Paul says, I appeal to you, I beg you, by the what? Mercies of God.
Yeah.
God's mercy has been shown on you now. Now, why don't you present your body now to be used by Him?
Yeah.
Yes? And so that's keep that in mind. And then ultimately, when it comes to Matthew 22, remember what Jesus said? The ultimate goal is that you are to love the what? Lord your God? Uh-huh. All your heart, soul, and mind, and to what? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes,
true change. Yes? So that's godly change is the objective. What are the obstacles? You remember we talked about this with the children some? What are the obstacles to godly learning? Well, one of them, it begins by understanding that knowledge, or if you will, truth, factual truth, is from God. You know, right now, people giving science so much credit for things like DNA. Do you think science created DNA? They finally what? Discovered it. Where did it come from? From God. It's been there for generations, but it took man this long to discover. Isn't this amazing? God did this back in the beginning when he said, let us make man. Adam had DNA in him. So, knowledge comes from God. Right? That's the reason we go to him when we want to know. Yes, indeed. Proverbs 2:9. Excuse me. 2:6. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and what? Understanding. Yeah. It's from God. And so when you think about that and it comes to these obstacles, I want you to see this. Since knowledge comes from God, if you try to seek knowledge and understanding without God, it's vanity.
Amen.
And that's what this world is doing. This world thinks they can figure out how everything came into being without consulting with God. And so we got all of these theories that require more faith than believing in the beginning God created.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're seeking knowledge and understanding what? Apart from God. It's all vanity. Evolution is going to go to the pit with everything else in this world. Ain't nothing true about it. It can't be. If evolution is true, God's a lie. Yes? There has to be a creator. But to admit that would then be to admit that they need to submit to God. So then they would prefer to seek knowledge what? Apart from God. Eve had to learn that. You all remember the whole deception? The Bible says that Eve was deceived. Adam disobeyed, but Eve was deceived. How was he deceived? Satan came to her and says, has God really said that you shouldn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Right? Then he got bold. You will not die if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As a matter of fact, you will be able to know good and evil what? On your own. You don't need to go to God anymore. You see what he did? He convinced Eve that you can get knowledge without going to God, and she bought it. Now, I'm not impugning Eve. I mean, that's Adam and Eve, those are our parents.
Amen.
And they passed that same propensity right on to us.
Exactly.
Yes? But you see that the clever scheme, and it's happening today. This world thinks that they can get knowledge apart from God. It's vanity, and it's sin, right? I want to show you one other verse. You can mark down that Ecclesiastes 1:16-18 on your own. There's a real interesting verse in 2 Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says that in this particular case, he's talking about what he calls weak women in this church. And he says that these women are filled with passions, desire, worldly passions and desires. And they think that they can have these worldly passions and desires and study the scriptures and learn from God. These women that are not going to consecrate themselves, they're not going to come to God with a clean heart. They're going to do all of their worldly, have all their worldly desires and think they can be all right with God. Right? You got 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse 6. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. And look at this. Look at the problem. always learning and what? Never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. That is what happens when you try to seek knowledge and keep your sin apart from God. It's not going to happen. That's the reason you can see Christians caught in their sins who don't change. They keep doing the same thing. They're ever learning, reading the same Bible that you do, and they don't learn. God is not going to pour more wisdom into a vessel that won't use it. No different than your child. Why would you keep giving your child money when they've proven to you they do nothing but throw it away? Yes? To whom? To the one who is faithful over little, they're what? Be faithful over much. But to the one who is unfaithful over little, what? They will be unfaithful over much. And so when it comes to this, don't think that you can just come to God and seek knowledge and understanding and hold on to your sin. Amen. Ain't going to happen. Now, you'll get smart. Mm-hmm. You'll know Bible verses. But see, we're not talking about information. Amen. Yeah? You remember what I said? The goal of godly learning is to live in accordance to what you learn. And so keep that goal in mind. The objective is to what? Have godly change. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not going to happen if you won't repent and change and confess. We good? Yeah. And so remember that, you know, all that we're talking about here is learning. And so pride and arrogance is an obstacle when it comes to learning. And I want you to see this from that 2 Timothy 3:7. I want you to see this point right here. Increased learning is no guarantee of understanding. Can y'all see that from this verse right here? Always what? Learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so if you're experiencing these kind of frustrations, you need to examine your life. That's like going to the doctor. And the doctor has prescribed a medication that should work. But it works if the medication has some what conditions. Some medications you can't have dairy products. Well, you go and you get the medication and you love ice cream. You ain't going to give up your ice cream, but you want the medication to work. And you go back to the doctor and say, well, why ain't it working? Well, it ain't working because you keep eating ice cream. All right? Or whatever the analogy may be. And so God says to us, that he wants us to have a clean heart. He wants his word to be, to function in a clean heart. With right desires, right? So increased understanding, learning is no guarantee of understanding. And so learning with no intention to apply or obey is just not going to work. And then finally, stubborn people and rebels, you're not going to learn. And I'm not going to take the time to read that whole text, but go look at Proverbs 1, chapter 20 through 31. It talks about how wisdom is crying out to the simple person, crying out to them, don't do this, don't go here. But the what? The person ignores wisdom. Ignores wisdom because I like doing this or I like doing that. Wisdom says, stop, stop. But you say, no, I like this. I enjoy these kind of programs. Mm-hmm. Wisdom says it's not helping you.
Yeah.
You say, well, I'm not going to go very far on this website. That's like, what, eating one potato chip.
Amen.
Right? Right? Amen. I'm just going to eat one. And that's what happens when you start going down that road on websites. I'm just going to look at this one. And then, you see, right? That's the way sin works. That's the reason it's called what? Temptation. It lures, right? So if you're stubborn and you're going to be a rebel, then you're not going to learn, even though wisdom is available to you. Yes? So those are some obstacles. All right. Those are the principles of godly learning. And then let's look at some essentials real quick. First of all, then, when you look at essentials, you got to begin. And so one who learns from God must first become a learner, right? You can't learn unless you have become a learner or the Bible calls a disciple. The word disciple means learner or follower, right? You remember how Jesus told Nicodemus? Nicodemus was curious and he had all these questions because he was convinced that Christ was who he said he was. But what did he say? Truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is what? Born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. You can't see and understand these things I'm talking about until you have been had light put on the inside of you. You got to be what? Born again. Right? You remember how Jesus said it in John 8. He says that if you abide in my word, you are truly what? My disciples. People know the next verse, but they don't realize that verse 31 is there. People know 32, and you'll know the truth and what? The truth will set you free. Well, people know that, but verse 31 says you got to abide in God's word before you're a real disciple. You can't claim the truth setting you free until you become a disciple. Those who are disciples get what? Set free. Get it? Yes. I'm telling you. You remember how Jesus said, by this, what? All people will know that you're my disciples. How? By the love you have what? One another. Yeah. You got it? And he said, by this, my Father is glorified. And John, what's that? John 15, what? That you what? Bear much fruit, so prove that you are my disciple. Yeah. Learning. You got to become a learner. Once you become a learner, you love. Love God and people. Yes? Once you become a learner, you're going to bear fruit. People won't have to, you know, if you have to really do this kind of microscopic examination of a person's life, something wrong. Fruit ought to be what? Obvious. Yes, sir. Right? You hear what Jesus said? By this my Father is glorified that you bear what? Much fruit. As a matter of fact, you remember how Jesus said it? Now he said that you got all these kinds of soil and the majority of the soils look good. But time proves that they never were for real. But he says that the one out of the four were for real. Three of them were phony. They all looked like the real deal, but they were phony. But he said the real deal bears fruit what? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, 1,000%. Think of that. 10,000%. You can't miss that. Yeah? Now, that had nothing to do with perfections. It just said the character of God comes forth from one who is what? Born again. If you have become a learner, you learn and do. Got a whole lot of learning to do. But when I do learn something, I apply it. Isn't that good? Yeah. And I say to all of y'all, you know, y'all grew up, y'all are in the environment where you grew up. And so I'm amazed at the way you all function among people that knew you. But that's what God wants. He wants people to know that you've been changed. Yeah? You have become a learner or a disciple. The other thing with this beginning when it comes to learning is that understanding and wisdom must be humbly desired, sought, and prayed for. I do want to turn to these verses. Can you turn to Proverbs chapter 3? This understanding and wisdom must be sought after, humbly desired, and prayed for. Proverbs 3, verses 13 and 14. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. Look at Proverbs 4. Verses 5 and 7. Look at this. Get wisdom, get insight. Don't forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Or as the King James says, get understanding. Right? That's what God wants. He doesn't want you to just be smart. He wants you to be wise and understanding. And people can tell when they're talking to a wise person, can't you? You can tell when you're talking to a wise person. First of all, they know how to listen. A wise person knows how to listen and not jump to conclusions. They have learned that it doesn't do any good for me to be quick to hear. I need to learn to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, right? I tried the other way. It's wise for me to obey God. Yeah? But then also, not only do you need to humbly seek after and desire wisdom and understanding, you got to pray for it, right? James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, what? Let him ask what? God, and God will give to you generously. But you got to ask. Isn't that good? And it won't be a reproach. God won't slam you because you weren't wise. He knows you're not wise. But he wants you to admit you're not wise and that you need what? His help. Isn't that good?
Amen.
That's how we begin. And that's how we can keep moving forward, because our God loves us and he wants us. And then the last essential that I want to mention is that God doesn't want us to all just be beginners. He wants us to grow.
Amen.
He wants there to be some progress. Amen. Some of us have been Christians of 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And you know as well as I do, I'm looking at my own life. I ought to be further along.
Amen.
Yes, I ought to be further along. And that brings shame. But I've still got the desire. I'm going to press on.
Amen.
Okay? Because God wants what? Progress.
Amen.
Progress. Yes? So learning is the statement that I want you to get. Learning is the process of understanding. This is an important statement. Learning is the process of understanding and acting on knowledge gained through experience. Now, that's a lot of words. And I don't have time to break it all, unpack it all today. But I do want you to remember this. It's a process. Learning is a process, okay? You remember how Paul said it? Can you turn to Philippians 4? I think this is a wonderful verse here. Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12. Y'all know these, but listen to them. Paul says this. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have, what's that next word? Learned. You get it? Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance I have, there's the word again, learn the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. It's a process. And that's the reason I tell any new Christian, you have come onto the roller coaster. Sit down, fasten your seatbelt, because it's going to be a bumpy ride. If you're expecting your finances to stay the same, you are wrong. Your family problems, your health, all of it is on the what? Roller coaster. Paul said, I have learned because I've gone through some what? Experiences. And in those experiences, I've learned to be content. It is a process. And the experiences of life are designed to teach
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
It's not just for the ride. There are things that are to be learned along the journey.
Yeah.
You get it?
Amen.
And so with that in mind, I also want you to remember this. A good disciple reveals understanding by imitating what was taught. I think this came out in Bible study this morning. You remember what Paul says? In the King James, follow me, what? As I follow Christ, or a more literal translation, be imitators of me.
Amen.
As I what? Imitate Christ.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means that I'm growing. You look at me, you should see that I'm growing. And if I'm growing, I'm following Christ, so then you can follow me.
Amen.
You get it?
Amen.
And so a good disciple reveals that you're imitating what you're taught. What God has taught you directly or through other people, you see it being worked out in your life. And when you help other people, you say, follow me. because I am doing what I've been taught. And they look at it and they say, that is consistent with the Bible. I can follow that.
Amen.
Yes? Again, Psalm 119:9. How shall a young man keep his way pure? By what? Keeping it according to God's word. Amen. And then the last statement on this matter is that growth and progress is expected from all disciples. Peter ended that little letter, 2 Peter, by saying, grow in what? Grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grow. Now, that's not something just for church leaders. That's for everybody. Everyone that has become a learner, every Christian is expected to grow. That is an expectation from God. Stop making excuses. There is no temptation that has overtaken you except that what? It's common to everybody. Stop making excuses. All of us have challenges, but God expects all of us to grow in our situation. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. We need to be learning while we're in it, not waiting till we get out of it to learn something. God wants us to learn while you're in it. Then he'll take you out. But many of us are still in it because we haven't learned anything. I'm being crass. But we haven't learned a lesson. Yeah? And see, I'm speaking from my own life. So I know that I need to learn better from my own afflictions. And I know that as a church, God has taken a special interest in this little congregation.
Amen.
And what we need to do is to learn the lessons that he's teaching us by what appears to be unfair and hard. It doesn't make sense. When you're trying to do right, it seems like the bottom falls out. Right? Lessons to be learned. Lessons to be learned. When you were sure you heard when you were doing the will of God,
well,
and everything you touch seems to burn, just blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Lessons to be learned. Learn to trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart, even when you can't figure it out. Just keep trusting. So we're going to get to that. We'll get to all that in the upcoming weeks. So just keep this in mind, that this whole issue then is for us to think about learning. So then, my brothers, sisters, I hope that you can see the need to be a genuine learner, right? I hope you see the need to be a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it is vain. It's vanity and it's sinful to read and study the scriptures with no intention of knowing God, no intentions of obeying him, no intentions of applying the truth to your life. That is vanity. And it's sinful. Every believer has been created by Christ Jesus, what? For good works which he prepared beforehand that we should, what? Walk in them. Every Christian in here, God had a purpose when he saved you. Not only a purpose when he brought you into the world, he had a special purpose when he saved you. That purpose has not changed. You hear me? It has not changed. It took God 80 years to get Moses ready for his purpose. But the purpose didn't change. A whole lot of things happened in that 80 years. But it took 80 years to get Moses ready for the purpose. It took Abraham and Sarah 75 years to get ready to be parents. And you think of that. So we all think we're ready much sooner than we are. But there's a lot more lessons that need to be learned, right? And trust me, God's a good teacher, isn't he? He's a good teacher. So we must learn and discover our purpose from the scriptures. We must learn and discover our purpose from the Holy Spirit. We must learn and discover our purpose from the experiences of life. God is always teaching us. School is always in session. There is no recess, no summer break. No spring break. Always in session. When you go on vacation, school is still in session. Weekend, school is still in session. The world is his classroom. Yeah? Experiences in life are his assignments. The Word of God has the answers, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher. I want you to think about something. What did you learn this week? Have you taken any time to think about it? What did you fuss about this week? Did you spend more time fussing about it than trying to discover what God was teaching you? Who did you talk to about your issues? Right? We just need to think about it. I'm going to ask you another question. What have you learned today? God's always teaching.
Amen.
What did you learn about him? What did you learn about yourself?
Amen.
You see, here's the challenge. Most people can tell you a whole lot about other people.
Well,
what you learn about other people. That shouldn't be your primary challenge. Number one, you need to learn more about God. Right? Then learn more about yourself. Then you're ready to do a right assessment of other people. Yes? So just think about what you've learned this week and today. God saved us to be learners. And my question to you as I close is, will you fulfill that purpose in your life? Will you be a learner until you die? Will you purpose to be a learner, a disciple? And if you're not a Christian, you're not a learner yet. No. If you're not a Christian, you're not a disciple yet. But you can be. You can be, and you can become a learner, but you must come to Christ. You must believe him. You must trust him. You must demonstrate that you trust him and you love him. And you can do that where you sit right now. You don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to prove yourself to God. Just love him. Trust him. Believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead and confess it with your mouth. You'll be saved. So says God. Father, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we spent together. And Lord, we confess that we need to learn more. We're so thankful that you're a good teacher, that you're a faithful teacher. We're so thankful that you know each student personally. You know us thoroughly. And so we present ourselves to you now, Lord, saying we need your help. And so would you meet us now in the Spirit? Show us the obstacles that keep us from learning from you. And then lead us in the way we ought to go. And I'm asking you, Lord, for the person here today that knows they're not a learner, the person that knows that they're not a disciple, would you meet them in their heart? Give them faith to be saved for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.